Bob,
well, thank you for getting back on time. I don't think anyone has come in. Yes, there was one couple that came in during the break. The first half of this morning's session was taken up by Beth, who is our conference secretary of our Joint Service Office in New York. And she briefly ran through the purpose of our Joint Service Office, the structure, and the services that are available. And this last half of the morning session will be devoted to questions from you. Now, it may not concern necessarily something the General Service Office is doing. You do not have to confine the questions to this area. Any question that you may have that concerns you or your group, please feel free to ask it. If Beth or Virgil or myself does not have the answer, I'm sure that some other group represented here today might have or have had a similar problem, and perhaps they have a solution. So please feel free, this is your workshop, your session, an opportunity for you to express your problems, to express your gripes if you have any, because we want to know them also. If we have problems and they're not aired so we can review them, then we will not be able to find a solution for them. So please feel free to ask the question. Now, we have a floor microphone that will be handled by Walter G., the district committee member from District 1. If you have a question, raise your hand. Do not start talking until he has the microphone so that you can be on tape. And please stand and please identify yourself and your group and our district.
Will you do that, please? Now, do we have a question? Courtney?
Well, we've had a problem down here in Auburn, cleaning the house seat. It was a complete failure, even after we got the thing started, because frankly, there is no room to expose the sponge to the house seat. And it wound up in controversy between the Al-Anons and the AA and the Al-Anon group broke up. We are interested in making another attempt at this, but God knows we want to go into the right way this time. Okay. Just how is Al-Anon started and sponsored?
Thank you, Courtney. Al-Anon sponsors Al-Anon. So probably the first step would be to contact Al-Anon, their headquarters, or your delegate who is here this weekend. I know I've met her. She could be instrumental, Ruth, in helping to get started on the right foot. They are not sponsored by AA, although individual AA members I know have been very helpful. But as far as their structure and their activities are concerned, they are sponsored by Al-Anon. So maybe before you leave, you could talk to Ruth today. You know, in fact, I'm sure she'd be helpful.
Next question.
We have a prison group, Ranger Prison, that sponsors and has this training on here today. How should the prisoners or your people sponsor for them to just do outside AA?
The gentleman you're referring to called me. I had talked with him and visited the Bainbridge group just before he had his heart attack. And I know how active and interested he is in institutional work. And at the time that he called me, he had a person with him who was interested in attending our assembly. I explained to him, and it has been explained before, and we will put something in the bulletin, in the monthly message concerning this. This information has to originate, in this case, from the Bainbridge Prison Branch, requesting that whoever the person is, the member of the group, be permitted to attend the State Assembly meetings. That will have to go through the Georgia State Prison in Reidsville, if that is a member of the Georgia prison system. It's a branch. Then it'll have to be approved or comments made and signed by Warden Smith. Then it is mailed to Director of Corrections in Atlanta, Mr. Robert Carter's office. And Mr. Carter, or his assistant, Mr. Donahue, would be the final authority as to whether or not this person will be permitted to attend. And the limitations and restrictions and the custodial care and all the other things that are necessary so an inmate can be released to attend an outside meeting. Well, I'm sure several groups have experienced this same problem. Some have suggested, and General Service Office has suggested too, and it's in our guidelines, that if you do not want to split the group for fear of breaking up the unity that you have and creating fractions and cliques, if you have facilities where you may go into another room, or if the room is sufficiently large enough to divide it into two groups, you can put 12 or 15 at one table and 12 or 15 at the other table and have separate discussions. In this way, each person around the table would be given an opportunity to express their opinions or to ask their questions. Would somebody else like to answer that question or make a remark concerning it? That was Gene Price from Augusta. He said they have a similar problem, and part of their solution was to divide it up and to put the beginners or the new people in one group and the older members in another group. This is good if you have one or two older members at the new group to lead them.
Suppose you hadn't got room to do that.
Courtney Mosley wants to know what is the solution if you don't have ample room. The room that you're meeting in is too small to have a group in the front and the back. I suggest the ladies or the spouses or the louses find them another place to meet. I realize you have a problem there, but sometimes we can live better with them by living apart from them. I found that you appreciate them a little bit more. Yeah, that little black-headed tiger sitting next to you belongs to me, so don't stir up anything, Courtney. Next question.
I'm A.L. Ellison, final group here in Memphis. I'd like to ask a question, please. Is it permissible to publish any of my letters to the newspapers or record it and put it on the air?
I meant to mention, that's a good question, and I meant to mention it when I was speaking to you earlier, because I feel you would be interested to know that all AA material is copyrighted, and the directors of AA World Services, who are the publishers and located in New York, would have to give permission for any of the material to be reprinted in papers or in books or any reprint. They like to see the context in which it's to be written, and they're very wonderful about it. They usually do, and it's an easy thing to get permission. But it's important to remember that all AA material is copyrighted, and in order to reprint the exact wording that's in any of our pamphlets and books, permission has to be obtained. Now, if you paraphrase, you may take something and paraphrase it. This is another matter. Permission is not needed. The Serenity Prayer is in the public domain. The preamble that we use in AA is Grapevine. They're the ones who wrote it. And they give permission for that. Does that answer your question? That's conference approved, even though it's a reprint. We had to get permission from them to print it. Yeah.
Question? Lee?
Lee, I'd like to answer that and give you a couple examples that I know of. We had a man in Atlanta several years back who kept coming to AA, disturbing the AA program. Neely knows of whom I speak. He kept disturbing this group to where they couldn't have their meetings and carry on satisfactory meetings. One day they were meeting upstairs at that time, which a lot of AA groups did and still are. This man was picked up by about three or four of the members of that group, and he was thrown down the steps onto the sidewalk. Walton Street in Atlanta. That man got up off that sidewalk, and I think it's one of the best lessons he did ever had in his life, because after continuing that drunk and winding up in jail, he came back to AA, and just about three or four months ago, he celebrated his 21st year of sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. I know that another example or two of that same thing. We speak in Alcoholics Anonymous of this being a selfish program, and I think your question comes under that category. If a person is endangering the sobriety of one, two, three, or four members, then I think you certainly have a perfect right to get rid of it. Yes, please. Well, this would be purely suggestion on my part, Lee. I mean, I don't know the exact situation of the man. You say you've already handled it, but where you have a mental problem, I think it would behoove the members of the groups to go to this particular person's family or guardians or whatever the case might be and lay the cards on the table and tell them what the story is, and that you'd appreciate it if they'd keep them away from there, that you can't help them.
I'll tell you how we have it. We have people
to give this man a chance to finish up and screw him up. Seth has a comment she'd like to make in that regard.
This question, as you can well imagine, has come up over the years quite often, and when these questions do come in, we want to obtain the sharing of from a group, just as you all hear now, how you're handling it in your own AA group. So the question was put in box 459 some years ago, and we have a file in the office on every question that's asked. It's under group experience. And it comes, we have many titles under this file concerning all sorts of things, and this is one of them. And it was the feeling then that, I remember the answers that came in from areas in answer to this question, that it was the feeling of most groups that they discuss it with the person involved, and but it was the welfare of the group was most important. And they seemed to place that first. They did everything they could possibly do to help the individual in every way they could, in a kind and loving way. But the important thing was the recovery of the other alcoholics in their group. Thank you.
Question? Well, let me ask you a question. Some of you have already elected your new GSR and committee member during this month of September. Some of you are planning to do it in the last week or so of this month of September, and others around the 1st of October. Now, we are going to continue to try to help our General Service in New York by filling out these group information cards, information that will go in the World Directory, as Beth explained to you earlier. So will you please, if you have not had your elections already, go back and sometime between now and around the 1st of October, please elect your new GSR and our committee member if this is the time for you to elect one. And Lillian is going to mail these sheets out around the 1st of October to every GSR. When you receive this sheet, please carry it to your group and see that the information that is put on it is complete and accurate, and that it gets back in the mail the very next morning. Because the longer you keep it, the better your chances of losing it. And long about the middle of the last of October, Lillian's frantic. She's going to have to receive all of these sheets on group information from you. She's going to have to correct them. She's going to have to type this information on individual cards and get this information back to New York. And it's time-consuming, so I'm going to ask your cooperation in this. Now, the question is, if you have elected or if you are going to elect in the very near future, what problems, if any, have arisen in the holding of the election or getting qualified people to serve? Are you able to get GSRs and committee members who are willing to serve the group? Now, that should raise a hell of a lot of questions. Because I guarantee you, during the coffee break, we'll have about 50 of them. We have Cliff Nam, District 4 committee member.
I'm Cliff Nam, living in District 4. And up until now, in our District 4, it has grown rather large. There are a lot of groups. Up until now, we only have about two, or might be three, men that are actually qualified for commission. Out of the old and the new, GSR would be the one coming and going. And I don't know, we seem to have a problem of people thinking that it's really important enough to serve. You know, they think maybe
Seems like everybody thinks they ate parts right here at Mount Booth and Shlocky. And it is a problem. I don't know about what kind of answer is coming up with. I got a lot of my own that they don't tell me.
I'm going to make one comment and then ask Virgil to answer this, too. I am from District 4. I know the problems that he's speaking of. Now, our service manual and formerly our third legacy manual suggested that, and our minutes in our Georgia State Assembly, suggest that for a person to be elected a committee member, that he should go through the chair, so to speak, to first serve in some area of his group, to serve as GSR, and then to be elected committee member. Now, we do have some few and isolated cases where qualified people are just not available to serve in one of these two capacities. And it is necessary sometimes for a person to be reelected, to serve an additional term. We do not like for this to happen. We want these jobs to be rotated and to give everyone an opportunity to serve. But it isn't always possible to do this. Now, I feel like that we can bend. These are not rules. These are only guidelines and suggestions. And for God's sake, remember this and never forget it. We've tried to stress this. And Beth did again this morning. Our General Service Office in New York, our State Assembly Office here in Macon, your District Committee member, and your groups. We have no rules or regulations. We are autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. You may do as you jolly well please in your particular group or area, just so long as it doesn't affect AA within that particular group or the neighboring groups or AA as a whole. Now, you may re-elect someone, or I feel like that you might have the right to go back and to elect a member with some considerable sobriety, that maybe at the time that he was qualified and willing to serve, the job of the office of committee member did not exist. I would feel like you could go back and get someone that perhaps has not served as a committee member, that has 10 or 15 or 20 years sobriety, and maybe is sitting back there in the back row and is not doing anything except just coming to the meetings, and you're not recognizing this alcoholic. You're not giving him or her a chance. It says, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Now, don't you ever forget, Ford, that we have people with 10 or 15 or 20 years that are still suffering. Just because they sit back there and don't say anything, they've got problems and they're suffering too, just as much, if not more so, than the new person that comes in is showered with love, attention, and affection. While old Joe, the old goat sitting back there with 20 years survived and said, nobody loves me anymore. Go back and see if you can find someone that is not now serving that might be qualified to serve. Roger, will you make a comment on this, please?
I think I can answer that or try. First of all, from a particular group of standpoint, I think I come from the finest group in the world, the Decatur Group in Atlanta. Not only do we have our present GSR here at this meeting today, we also have our newly elected GSR that's going to go in office the 1st of January as an observer of what's going on. So she'll know when she takes office January the 1st. But on that question, there's a man asked me this just a little while ago when I was over by the table. I asked him if they had ever elected a committeeman from his district. And he told me that yes, that they had just elected one. And I said, well, who? And he says, me. And he says, I don't think they did it right. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, because I wasn't even the GSR of my group. He said that the GSRs called a meeting in his district for the purpose of electing a committeeman. And None of those GSRs felt as if they were qualified to be committeemen of that district, and they asked him and felt that he was and elected him committeeman. Now, all of you know that, as Joe mentioned, we don't have rules and regulations in Alcoholics Anonymous. We have suggested guidelines. First of all, I might, and I'm not saying this critically in any manner, but it could happen that when a district elects a group, elects their GSRs, that they fail to take in consideration the import that their GSR might someday become committeeman. He might be someday become delegate or whatnot in electing a qualified person. That's when we get back to placing personalities before principles. We should elect a qualified person, but sometimes we don't. And although it is suggested that a GSR should have 2 years sobriety and that a committeeman should have enough sobriety that when the time comes to be placed in nomination for delegate of 5 years, sometimes it's not possible to follow that procedure, and we have to do the best we can. Hope that answers it.
Thank you, Brother Joe. And I'd like best to make a comment on this, too, as far as the feelings about General Service Officers are concerned, because, as she said a moment ago, and as you've heard here many times, a General Service Office is but a storehouse of information standing ready to give the suggested answers for any problem that you may have. And they're up there for one purpose, for service. And this information is kept so they can be of service to you. Now, these problems that you have and I have are certainly not original. They've happened many, many times in the past, and they're going to happen again in the future. Now, we have these, the solution and the answers to all of them. And any time you have a problem, as Beth asks you to do, please feel free to sit down personally yourself and write a letter to the General Service Office in New York, and I guarantee you, you'll get personal attention and receive a personal letter. Are you waiting for a phone call over there, Liam? Well, you may come on back if you'd like to. Please join us. All right. Beth, would you come and make a comment on that, please?
I just really want to confirm Virgil's comments that each group, and we know this and we strongly feel it and believe it, is autonomous, so that the decision, the ultimate decision, is entirely up to each AA group on who they elect. And it's a completely local matter. But I'm wondering, and how you feel about it. Would this be a question that could be included in a workshop at the conference to find out? Do you think it would be helpful to find out to ask other areas how what their experience has been? How would you feel about that? We could, we do have workshops at the General Service Conference where we. Every delegate participates and shares the experience in his own area, and we would be gathering information from 90 areas on it. Do you think this would be beneficial?
Since I was going to ask a question, I would think so. I don't know. I might add this. We have a problem also in our home group.
Still sober.
And we're trying to, I think there's about three or four, and I think that's up, and we think we're trying to be younger, some of the younger, one of
Sure. Sure. How do you get these opportunities to them? I'm sure we all try. It's probably, I don't know that there's any cut and dried answer to it, but we could ask and see how, other areas are managing to do this, if they're successful. I do have the feeling that it's a problem in many, other areas, and that it's something that there wouldn't be any real cut and dried answer to.
But if you want to submit it, in the workshop question, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, Bob, but just one minute before you start. I think the mistake that some of us make, and a lot of us are guilty of this, we ask a person if they will serve, and he is automatically appointed, or we might go through the procedure of a formal election. Now, I think if we will talk to these people beforehand and let them know that we are not just going to elect them to an office and dump a lot of work and responsibility on them, and they know absolutely nothing about it, they are afraid to leave themselves open to this responsibility. They don't want to say that, but you know that the problem does exist. I think if we would talk to this person and say that we will assist them in any way, that we're not going to ask them to serve and then dump it in their laps and forget them, that we will continue to work with them and to give them the benefit of our experience and the information and the guidelines and the tools and the pamphlets and the books from New York, and that we will break him or her in gradually, and that that person can feel free to call on you at any time to help you with this problem, then they might be more willing to accept this job. But I think a lot of them say, will you serve as GSR? And he might not even know whether that is a general service representative or assistant postmaster. Now, this is true. You know it in your own groups. We have people that come to this assembly and ask, what is the state assembly and what is general service office? And we have just got to explain it. I've said this before, just because we get sober, we can't be restored to something we didn't have to begin with. And just because we get a little bit sober, we ain't well yet. And now you've heard me say that we're stupid. We like to think we're smart. We weren't here. If we weren't stupid, we wouldn't be sitting here today. But don't misunderstand. We don't stay stupid. We get sober and we get smart. But I think if you would take these people under your wing and lead them and guide them and encourage them, they would be more willing to accept this responsibility. Bob had the next question.
You are a good thing now. You are a good thing now. It's about what I was going to say. I'm going to base it on one word, and that's communication. Since I think our biggest weak spot is to tell you right on down, we do not have full communication. If we start at the lowest level we can, which is the group level, communicate with them and show them that they must communicate with the higher income, the family here, because this is what they depend on for their survival. And we in turn depend on that in New York for our answers. Their answers were found when they came to AA and they found sobriety. And they so quickly forget the grateful for the comfort they had at sobriety. And this will not be there if the guy that comes next month or 6 months or a year from now if you let this communication line continue to grow with them. So from the lowest to the highest, which is a 3 mile communication step by step. And as you say, to take them under your wing and guide them, this is what we do when they come in. They dress sober and they want what we have. So we guide them by our example. And by our example, that is commitment. And I'm one of the weak ones for a while because I did not have proper communication. And then I finally let my arteries come out and cut the canter up. And both of us were GSRs, so either you said they had to go through the chairs, they were going through the chairs, and that's about all. Going this way, we got up. And we got two GSRs, and I think we've gone somewhere at 100% of the day.
Thank you, Bob. This age-old problem, lack of communication and lack of electing qualified people. Over here.
My name is Bob, and I'm from the GSR Foundation Group. First, I'd like to take issue with Virgil. I don't think he's got the best reasons here. I think he's got the best people in town. Yeah, he may have a cracker set. And I also brought my replacement GFR, Bill Thomas here. This is my wife, GFR Alan, she's on her place. Thank you.
Thank you for that information. I might add that the gentleman sitting on the right of my wife is also the newly elected GSR from the Vidalia Group, and he and his wife are here as observers today. So you see, interest can be created one of two ways. Now, I think that if this line of communication can remain open, and this is why it's so vitally necessary, as Beth and Virgil and everyone has stated time and time again, that's why it's so vitally important to elect a GSR, and to guide and to work with that GSR to see that they're doing the job in the right manner, to make sure that they know what our state assembly is and that they come to these meetings. And when they come, that they go back home with some enthusiasm and some interest and some concern, and that they share this with their group and let their group know that AA doesn't begin and end right down there in Podunk. Next question. Margaret.
My name is Margaret Hamilton, I'm from the
I'm going to let Virgil answer that before. Certainly, this happens, and Virgil explained this partially a minute ago. I'll let him elaborate. There are many cases in which a group, for one reason or another, may be a newly formed group, and they have no one with adequate sobriety, as suggested. So we have to start out with the new people. My comment would be, certainly elect someone with 9 or 10 months sobriety who is eager, enthusiastic, and a worker. Someone that can read and write, someone that knows how to keep the fly zipped up, and someone that knows how to communicate, and somebody that will get out and work. Hell yes, I'd rather have a new person who will work than an old timer that'll sit on his tutu. Virgil?
I think you already answered that, Joe. Here again, as we spoke of, Margaret, about not having any rules and regulations but suggestions, sometimes, and particularly in new groups, it's just an impossibility to have somebody with, we'll say, 2 years sobriety, which is suggested for a GSR, and we have to go along with a person with 8, 9 months sobriety. Sometimes we may have to go along with somebody for 6 months sobriety to be able to do the job. But I wanted to comment on something that Joe had to say about the older members in the groups, too. I hate to keep calling Neely's name back here all the time, but Neely's been around here a long time. She's the oldest woman in AA in Georgia. Neely not only was our first delegate, but since she has been our first delegate, Neely has remained active. What's she got now, Neely? 21, 22 years? 24 years. I beg your pardon. Neely has come back, I don't know how many times, but I do know that she has come back and served her group as GSR and served her district as committeeman. And I know these older members are willing, able, and competent to take over these jobs and do them. And I know that some of them, being human beings, feel hurt when they are put out to pasture and not asked to do it. But I think, according to our AA program, it is much better to rotate our offices if it's necessary for somebody with 6, 8, 9, 10 months to come in GSR, or even commitment if that isn't necessary, to rotate our offices and let our older members be a guiding light behind them to advise them and help them along. And don't be ashamed to go ask for advice. I think, and I know, that I go ask for a lot more advice today from older members than I did when I first came in this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. For those of you who don't know, you look at this map up here, and Jim is up in the top left-hand corner, almost not even in Georgia. And up there in the mountains, the mail doesn't move too fast by mule train, and when the snow comes, we just don't hear from them. We do have a problem in the communication, I know. I'm a small group myself, from a small group, and I know the problems you're having. But if everybody would do exactly what Jim has done, if nobody else is going to do it, do it. Make sure the job gets done. A lot of times we have a way of saying, well, just don't worry about it. The problem will work itself out, and they forget about it. Well, the problem sometimes does solve itself with time. If we'll back off and give it an opportunity to occasionally work itself out. But usually it doesn't. If it gets worked out, it's because that somebody, somewhere, did something to straighten this problem out. Somebody is going to have to do it. And I don't feel like that if we have any gratitude for our sobriety, and we wish to express it, and the only way we can is through love and service, that we won't sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. That we will look for the opportunity to be of service to ourselves. Question? Okay, Bo.
This has happened in some of our lives, I know, and this would be, I believe, an individual matter and a personal matter. You would not be doing it in the name of AA. I know an AA member was recently asked to appear subpoenaed as an individual to testify in favor of a girl in a divorce proceeding, and she appeared and did it as an individual. We can do these things as an individual in a personal matter, just so long as the AA, you know, it'd be up to each one of us to make our own decision on it, whether we wanted to do it for a person. But as far as AA goes, we would not, you know, no one can speak for AA or guarantee anybody's sobriety in any way. She'd probably be perfectly free. Because if she was subpoenaed, that would be something that would be, she'd have to discuss with a lawyer, I would imagine. I don't know, you know. If she didn't appear, yeah. Anyone, any individuals have that particular experience? There's someone back there.
The lady in the back.
How would you trip the thought of Virginia?
We'll talk about something. Good. I haven't seen you since you passed through by day and called me down to the grocery store. It's good to see you again. Go ahead and tell us about it. Sure.
A little bit later, got in trouble. You know, with food.
Thank you, Virginia. I happen to experience... That's all right, honey. I happen to experience this myself. And thank goodness that I had read and I had heard and I had been advised by other people and I didn't get caught in a trap. When I was subpoenaed and Angar asked to come and to speak for a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to the judge, I went to the prosecuting attorney, I went to the defense attorney, I went to the sheriff. And then my tomb's kind of down there. Everybody have no anonymity. Everybody knows I'm an alcoholic. But I told them that I would be happy to give any information to these four parties, five, in closed session. But that I felt like they did not have the right to ask me or any other member of Alcoholics Anonymous to come before an open court and to testify. And after that conversation, we straightened out the officials and at least let them know how we felt about our personal anonymity. And we would not be involved in washing any dirty linen before an open court. We'd be happy to testify in closed session, or they would do that without our services. Lee? We're just about to run out of time, but we will go over for a few minutes because we want every voice to be heard, every question to be answered.
I think y'all can tell me about that thing there. These borderline controversies, you know. We got two groups in Alton, and one of them, all the members that go to the smaller group, they are loyal attenders to the other group. And the question was brought up, and some controversy was brought out about it, because in the larger group, one of the members from the smaller group was put in to be elected into an office in the larger group. But it turned out that that member was holding an office in the smaller group. And they brought up, you can't hold offices in both groups. Is there any answer to that?
I'm going to let Beth answer that.
If I can find the page number right here, it's covered in the pamphlet, the AA group.
Right.
A lot of members, we in large areas and small areas, visit around to a lot of different groups. But the experience has been that in most groups, a member would have a home group, just one group, and be an officer in just one group, even though he felt at home at a lot of other groups. And it's covered here, and before this meeting's over, I'll find it where it says, where it's covered. Does that answer?
you going to find?
Yeah, and I'll give it to you. You can have it.
Well, she gave you the answer. It has been suggested here again. Suggested in guidelines. You can do as you please. But you seem to be having problems, so go back and follow the suggestions. There's the answer. Every person has a home group, a one home group, in which she or he may be expected to hold an office or to serve. Certainly we can visit these other groups, but we should not try to hold office in more than one group. Speedy in the back.
The biggest problem is within the group steering committee, and they elect a chairman for the month, is to tell that chairman to not run his big mouth so long in a comment every time from a business. And then he wonders why he can get around everybody. If he would allow the people in the discussion to discuss while they're listening to him, run off his mouth. If he wants to run off his mouth, we'll put him on the secret circle around the back of the area. You will find, and it's in my experience, that you can sit in a room with 45 people, and in 1 hour, every one of those persons in that room can say something. But if the chairman
takes
the comment, have something to say about everything, you
won't hear about that. So true, and thank you for those comments, Speedy. Any other questions? Yes, Cliff. Identify yourself. Thank you, Cliff. I know the problem that you're speaking of. I do not have the solution. Practically every district in the state of Georgia has similar problems. There's always someone at this end and someone at that end. I hope that in January or in May that our assembly here, your assembly here, will discuss the possibility of redistricting the state of Georgia, if not redistricting, at least to change the border lines of some of our districts to include some groups or to move them over to the neighboring district. This might be the possible solution. Yes, Roger.
Yes, Roger. Someone, and I guess maybe I should stick my neck out and be a part of it, should compile all of our proposals and minutes of this meeting into a book so we could have them. But presently, Atlanta is the only district that we have that is zoned. But within those minutes and proposals back there somewhere, any district, when they become populated enough with groups, they are perfectly free to come to this assembly and ask that their district be zoned, such as the metro district is zoned. I imagine not only your district, but there may be two other districts that has enough groups in them that they might want the request of this state assembly that their district be put into two zones. And they would then would have two committee members from that district if it would be zoned. Of course, now, that zoning of that district, here again, to answer your question of being 90 miles from one end of it to the other, when you request that zoning, the line should be drawn at a geographical point. That would be up to your district to get together with your GSRs and decide on it. Some group, knowing alcoholics, one group way down in here in the south end of it couldn't say, well, I don't like that bunch of groups. I want to be in this north one. And you couldn't draw a zigzag line down through there to make some groups happy. So the district committeeman should get together with his GSRs if you feel that you are entitled to be zoned in another committeeman, and get together and draw a feasible geographic line and come to the assembly and ask for it. Thank you. I can feel for you. We've got about 60 groups in the metro Atlanta district, and it doesn't make any difference what night that we have something. We're going to have it when about 10 or 12 other groups has got a meeting. That's just something we can't help. I mean, it's just the way. Now, it could be possible that you could have your meetings at one of these groups and help that a little bit, but I don't know how you're going to get around of having a meeting that is not going to interfere with another group.
I want to tell you how we handle that. We have North Alabama, and we have every 14, 15, all in our area meeting, and we have it on a Sunday afternoon. And that way, when they all get there, they drive a long way, but they all get there. We don't have they arrange it so that nobody meets at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Nobody has a regular meeting, and then we have our every meeting like that, and we always have a good track.
We do.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Walter. This is the only obvious solution. Anytime we try to have a business meeting in conjunction with a regular open meeting, eating meeting, anniversary, or birthday, it's extremely difficult. You can't get there in ample time to have it before the meeting, and it's almost impossible to have it after the meeting because of the visiting and the confusion. The solution would be to set it up on a Sunday afternoon at 2, 3, or 4 o'clock for the sole purpose of a district meeting to be attended by the district committee member and GSRs and not have any other function at that time. Well, here again, we announced this numerous times. We put it in the monthly message. We talk about it, but we are alcoholics, and we can't remember. We know, we have known for years, that we meet three times, January, May, and September. We meet on the third Sunday. It might be the second Saturday night, but it's the third Sunday that the assembly meets. Now, we sent out calendars, we've sent out messages, we have sent personal emissaries to get this point across. But we flat can't remember, can we? The third Sunday in January, May, and September. You just flat don't schedule anything else on those days. Please. Any other questions? Okay, Gene, just a moment. I'm going to let Beth answer this. This is a fine line. When you're dealing with people out of institutions that we classify local jails or paroles or probation in this category, I don't feel from my personal experience that we can deal with them exactly the same way as we can, say, an ordinary, plain old everyday drunk that doesn't have some legal or some law hanging over him. Thank you, Gene. Beth, this is a personal thing that no one can tell you how to handle it because you're on top of it and we're not.
But I can mention the material that we have available, and I'd be glad to send it to you. It would be guidelines on our cooperation on these court programs. Have you seen that, Gene? And also the pamphlet, Questions and Answers on Sponsorship. I think there's something pertaining to the inmate in that. And there are other institution material that I will, you know, add to send to you. I think it's probably the best thing. As Joe said, it was an individual thing, you know, in handling it. Probably the best thing would be to send you the guidelines.
I want to make an announcement before I forget it. Now, we're going to adjourn in just a moment. We're going to meet back here at 1 o'clock for our General Assembly meeting. Please be on time. And don't forget now how we're supposed to seat ourselves when we come in. District 1, 3, 5, all the odd districts will be on this side. Number 1 on the first row, 3 on the second, 5, and so forth. 2, 4, 6, 8, the even number districts here. The committee member will sit on the end, and all the GSRs will sit to the right or left, whatever the case may be. Now, the zoned areas, A, C, and E, will sit here. A will sit directly behind number 11. B, D, and F will sit in the even number over here. And B, zone B, will sit directly behind district 12. Any question on the seating? Cliff? No, sir. Only the current GSR will be permitted to vote. Each group will have but one vote. And let me make this announcement, too. We always have some alternates sitting in. We might have a GSR who is serving as the alternate committee member. When the roll call is made by Lillian this afternoon, if you're serving as an alternate committee member, then so state. If you're representing your group, you'll have to also state. Now, when it comes time to vote, do not continue to serve as alternate committee member because you will not have a vote. Go back, take off one hat and put it aside and go back and serve as the GSR as you originally sent up here to do so that you can vote and represent your group. Each group will have but one vote. Bill, did you have something you want to say?
I wanted to ask a question as it was relative back here of Beth there on holding two offices. I'm
We have quite a few that have done it and gone to other groups.
Yeah.
And as such, we are still sharing some of these people on our books that still celebrate birthdays and so forth in our group. And then the message to get an accurate census, I guess, that came up a year or two ago, some of these people were 10 and 20. I don't really know if we were to drop them, I think they want to be members of our group. I just wanted to know what the ruling was, if there are guidelines on this, about either dropping them from our roles or just going directly to them and asking them, you want to stay with this group or another group.
Beth, I think Beth can answer that. Here again is the home group question.
I don't really know that we have a rule, that says that a member cannot belong to more than one group. It's really up to the group. But as far as the count goes, you might work it out so that you'd count the person just once as a member, of one particular group. Now, right now, I know a girl in the New York area who is very active, and she's an officer of three groups, And this is fine. It's entirely a decision up to the group. And I think it would be up to your group to decide whether they wanted to carry someone as an active member. I don't see anything against it, really. I'm reading this. I finally found it in the pamphlet, and it says to cover it, most members feel more at home in one particular group than in others and consider it their home group, where they accept responsibilities and try to sustain friendships. They do not meddle, I don't know if I like that word, they do not meddle in the business or policy of groups which they visit, but in which they would accept no service assignments. But this is all very, suggested once again. There are no set rules.
Thank you, Beth. If there's anyone who has not registered, if there's been any change in your group status and you have not contacted Lillian to give this information, please do so immediately after this meeting, before the meeting begins at 1 o'clock, or not later than the coffee break during the afternoon session. Let us stand and be dismissed by repeating the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.